You are listening to the Sports Call podcast presented by Pepsi. Enjoy today's edition of Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Pepsi. That's what I like.
Since 1995, Alabama's sports talk leader, Tiger Communications, proudly presents Sports Call. It's time to join our Sports Call crew as they discuss the latest headlines and happenings around Auburn and the entire sports world. To be part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally or toll-free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. We're taking phone calls all show long and want to talk about whatever you've got on your mind. And now, coming to you live from the loveliest village on the plains, Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Good afternoon, Auburn. Welcome into the Thursday edition of Sports Call here on a beautiful day here on the plains. Mid-70s in February. You must be in Alabama in the deep south. So it's a beautiful day outside. I'm Ryan Lavoie. Alongside of me today, Javon Cutler and Brooks Childress. J.J. Jackson will be doing Auburn softball this evening, which is why he is not on this program today and why this program will be short today. We will get off the air at 4:15 this afternoon because at 4:45 airtime for Auburn softball, J.J. Jackson on the call here for the Auburn Sports Network. So that's at 4:45, so we will be off at 4:15 today. And also want to go ahead and announce no show tomorrow for a similar reason, a doubleheader for Auburn softball tomorrow afternoon. So no time for us to be with you tomorrow afternoon. So the last hour and 15 of the show for the week is today. Once again, getting off air at 4:15 today, no show tomorrow. But Ryan, Javon, and Brooks with you for the hour and 15 today. We're excited to be with you. As always, we will take your phone calls on the Auburn Bank phone line at 887-341 locally, toll-free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. And we also want to get to the player of the week because we've not done that yet this week, so we want to get you to last week's player of the week as well. Guys, Auburn baseball with a huge win last night, not because they played an outstanding opponent, but because they did something quite remarkable on the offensive end of things. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well today. Brooks and Javon with me once again today. Guys, how are we doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, that was a fun baseball game last night. Mostly, I mean, it took forever to get through it, but it was fun for Auburn fans, not fun for any Alabama A&M fans out there to watch that. But man, 33-0, that is just impressive. That is a lot of offense, and Auburn baseball continues to look pretty well to start the season, going into some very tough competition this weekend, though. So you gotta put the game last night. That was fun. That was the last two nights. They were fun. Put up all those runs, but you got to put those behind you now and get ready for some really, really stiff competition this weekend out in Round Rock, Texas. You got three teams that are really, really, really good coming up. You got Oklahoma, Baylor, and Texas A&M, I think, in that order on the weekend. So I believe all three teams are ranked. If not, they're very close to being ranked. All three of them are very, very capable of coming out and putting up a lot of runs and shutting you down pitching. So this Auburn baseball team's got their first real test of the year coming up this weekend in Round Rock, Texas. I think that they're up to the challenge. I think that this is probably one of the best Auburn baseball teams. Like we've heard from Butch Thompson all offseason, this is one of the best on-paper baseball teams that he's ever put together, and Auburn baseball may be one that Auburn baseball, one of the great teams Auburn baseball has seen on paper. So you're getting your first real test of it this weekend to see how you fare against some of the national powerhouses, and even a team that I believe you're going to see later on in conference play, Texas A&M. So it's going to be a fun weekend this weekend. Softball getting ready for another high-powered weekend as they get ready for Jacksonville today. Can't wait for that game to get going, and then the rest of the Tiger Invite this weekend. That'll be fun on Friday and Saturday. And yeah, Auburn basketball trying to bounce back, as you know, like you said, Ryan, this is the last hour 15 of the show, so Auburn basketball getting ready for a tough matchup this weekend against the number 25 Tennessee team, who's kind of been up and down. They've been ranked all year mostly, and But it seems like they're up and down every weekend, every week. You don't know which Tennessee team you're going to get. So hopefully Auburn can catch the down Tennessee team coming in. Tennessee's coming off last weekend, a loss to Kentucky. And then do they play a midweek game, or are they playing a midweek game this week?
Yeah, they've got one more game after this, and it is against Alabama. You said it's for Auburn?
No, for Tennessee.
Did
they play a midweek game this week?
Yeah, no, they did. They played Vanderbilt.
And
last night, and it was close throughout, and then Tennessee pulled away in the final media timeout. I'm sorry. Auburn has one more game, but Tennessee this week, they beat Vandy, I believe, by like 12, but it was a four-point game at the final media timeout.
So if you're Auburn, you know, you're getting ready for this game this weekend. It would be, quote-unquote, senior day for Auburn. Bruce Pearl said a lot of times that he doesn't even think he's got a senior manager on this team. So it'll be senior day, but not really senior day this weekend for Auburn basketball versus Tennessee. And hopefully Auburn can come back and bounce back from that Florida game, learn some things from that tape, and come out this weekend and play well against number 25 Tennessee.
Javon Cutler, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing good, Ryan. Doing good. And like Brooks said, who would have thought 33 runs would have came across an Auburn baseball game, especially a 33-0 shutout from this Auburn baseball team. And you had a bunch of guys contributing, as you would expect. The main guy as far as RBIs was Brody Moore with 7, so he had a good amount of RBIs. But you had Cam Hill with 3, Stephen Williams with 4, Bryson Ware with 4, Judd Ward had 2, Brayton Brown had 2. So you just had a lot of guys contributing in the game. And, I mean, you thought 18-2 was bad. Hey, they stepped up a notch and made it 33-0, took the school record, I should say, set it. But, hey, great performance from Auburn in terms of their baseball and team. So now they just got to focus on Oklahoma to see what happens against the Sooners. It'll be a fun game, I think, for the Tigers to continue to ascend as far as their stature and hitting, but much different competition ahead with Oklahoma, and also got some Auburn basketball on the horizon against Tennessee. So big game for the Tigers. They try to finish their season strong. And Auburn softball, we've got pretty much almost every Auburn sport covered this weekend. So we'll be preparing for that.
Women's basketball tonight.
Women's basketball. So we've pretty much got the whole slate covered here. And I guess to touch on some light NFL news, I mean, there's some kind of rumblings out there in the NFL as far as Russell Wilson talking about that he hasn't demanded a trade according to his agent, but if he were to get traded, he'd have a couple of teams he'd prefer to go to, like the Dallas Cowboys, New Orleans Saints, Las Vegas Raiders, and Chicago Bears. So nothing obviously set in stone. That's just some rumors and rumblings, but that's just some of the teams that Wilson might be interested in if he were to be traded. So pretty interesting news out there from Seattle and Russell Wilson, but like I said, it's just kind of all talk, no action. But other than that, looking forward to today's show, shortened show, but hey, we got a lot of action nonetheless.
Yeah, and as you say with Russell Wilson, an interesting smattering of teams there, but got a lot to do today, and so I don't know if we'll get to that, but yeah, that's an ongoing story in the NFL for sure. And talked about Deshaun Watson all offseason. Wouldn't that be something if he wasn't even the biggest name that got traded somehow in this NFL offseason? All right, let's go ahead and go to the Auburn Bank phone line for the first time today. Our good friend James from Montgomery joins us. James, we haven't heard from you in a while. We're glad to have you back on the show. Hope you've been doing well.
Yeah, I've been doing well. Thanks, guys. And War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Yeah, because I've been very busy lately, you know, with all the offseason news of the NFL, and I know that y'all were talking about Russell Wilson and seeing what team will he like to be traded to, but I'm pretty sure that he might want to be traded to the Dallas Cowboys, because I've been hearing a lot of Dallas Cowboys news lately through their podcast, through the break on Dallas Cowboys radio. And they were talking last week, they were talking about it, what will be Russell Wilson's intake of being a Cowboy. But I think if he comes to the Dallas Cowboys team, I think Jerry Jones would be very pleased to have somebody like Russell Wilson instead of, you know, Andy Dalton or
Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott or Brian Minucci. I can't pronounce his last name.
But
I think with Dak Prescott being a free agent, I think Dak Prescott should go to a different team and probably, you know, see what other teams might be out there for Dak Prescott and leave Andy Dalton there, you know, for a couple of seasons, you know, a couple of years along the line just to get some insight to help Russell Wilson as well.
Yeah, no, obviously if you can get someone like Russell Wilson, I mean, not only does he make you better on the field, he makes you better off the field. He's a great mentor. He's a great human being. He'd do wonders for the Cowboys organization. I know you're a big Cowboys fan, James, and so really I think in order to get them back to being division winners and being playoff contenders, I think Russell Wilson would do that immediately if the Cowboys were able to pull that off. So, absolutely. And like you said, that is one of the teams that he wants to go to is the Dallas Cowboys. So maybe they can work something out there.
Yeah, because if he's – I know he's like – he has won a couple of playoffs. He's been to the Super Bowl. But I think with the Cowboys being in his you know, driver's seat as well, I think that would be very, very, very highly – unlikely to see him as a Cowboy and, you know, getting him to, you know, take the Cowboys from a one-and-done team to a one-and-great team to win the playoffs and go to the Super Bowl because I really want to see the Cowboys actually win the playoff season this year and win the Super Bowl and actually just seeing where our new head coach, Mike McCarthy, would stand in the Super Bowl Ring of Honor, you know, with other great legends that have been on the Cowboys team.
Yeah, obviously the Cowboys have a huge brand, and they have a lot of great Hall of Famers over the course of their franchise history, both coaching and playing. And so Russell Wilson being the caliber he is, I expect to see him in the Hall of Fame one day. And already being a Super Bowl champion, aligning himself with one of the most famous franchises in the sport, if not the most famous franchise, I think that would make a lot of news, and I think a lot of people would be very interested to see how that played out.
Yeah, because I know I was looking at earlier today, I was looking at the different things that that's going to be happening in August for the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony with they are actually going to be doing something a little bit different due to the COVID protocol for the enshrinement ceremony and for the museum itself. They're actually adding a new exhibit for fans, but they're not going to be in, it's not going to be in person, but you can go on their website and look at the virtual exhibit, like the hall of, it's like the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but it's on their website, so they're working on that as well for fans that are not going to be attending in person virtually. But it's not going to be in person, but it's going to be virtually on their website as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. And obviously, with COVID times, a lot of people have had to go virtual and everything they do, whether it be their job or you know just not going out as much, and so. Something like that, which relies on fans, and it's usually a big event. You know, you want to get as many people involved with it as safely as you can as well. And so that makes a lot of sense that they're trying to do that.
Yeah, because I think what they are trying to do is it's going to be like a 3D hologram of different former NFL football players, and you'll get to, like, pick, like, certain ones that played through the years, and you'll get to learn how they improve their game on the field and how they improve their game off the field as well.
Yeah, that would be really cool for sure. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, and then they're working on August the 5th of 2021. They're actually doing a rescheduling of the classic matchup between the Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I'm not quite sure if they're going to had that finalized as of yet. I'm still getting more information close to that as well.
Yeah, those are two of the three or four greatest franchises in the history of the NFL, so that'd be a cool thing to do. James, you got some other stuff for us. I know Auburn women's basketball plays tonight. Unique Thompson broke the rebound record for Auburn earlier this week.
Yes. I did. I did send her a congratulation Facebook friend request. So I'm hoping she'll read that as well from one of her favorite fans. So I will be watching that game, and I hope everything turns out for her. You know, in the near future, I hope I see Miss Thompson. I hope I see her in the WNBA in a couple of seasons.
Yeah, I think with Unique Thompson, she is going to have a chance to get drafted for sure. And she's meant a lot to this Auburn program for a lot of years, and her consistency has been important. And, yeah, no, she's worked really hard for this. So, yeah, absolutely. I love the congratulations you gave there.
Yeah, because, you know, she's one of my favorite women's basketball players. I've been following her ever since she was a freshman at Auburn. So, you know, I'm going to be rooting on these ladies and seeing if they're going to pull out a big win. And I hope everything turns out for Unique Thompson, and I hope I see her playing with my Dallas Wings in the WNBA someday.
Yeah, that would be really cool. And, yeah, we're all rooting her on and as she goes on the next level in a couple games. And, yeah, Auburn needs to get themselves a win. They've only got a couple more opportunities to do that.
Yeah, but I know it's going to be out there, but I know we're far away from March Madness, so I'm just trying to see how things are going to turn out for Auburn. But I don't know if Auburn is going to be in this year's March Madness, but I think things might make Auburn a little out there, but I think they might make a slight adjustment in the March Madness tournament this year.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard for Auburn. I won't sugarcoat it, James. It's going to be really hard for Auburn to make the tournament. They're going to have to win their conference tournament, which it does not feel like is very likely. But, you know, everyone has a chance at it. No one's eliminated until they get eliminated from the conference tournament. So we'll see what they can do.
Yes. But I will talk to you all next week. And, you know, probably I would talk to you all probably on April 17th. And see if y'all can actually get Nick Thompson on the show. And I'll, you know, send her congratulations to her.
Yeah, we'd love to get someone like Unique Thompson on the show. We appreciate that phone call, James, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, War Eagle.
War Eagle, that's James from Montgomery there on our Auburn Bank phone line. Let's go to our first break of hour number one. On the other side, we'll go back to the Auburn Bank phone line. Retired Ward AMC will join us. That's next.
We need a timeout. Sports Call will be back after this quick break.
I'm Jeff Whitaker Jr., former Auburn Tigers defensive tackle and national champion, and you are listening to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
Welcome back. Thursday edition of Sports Call, the last edition of Sports Call this week. Another reminder, no Sports Call tomorrow. Auburn softball playing in the Tiger Invitational. That will be a doubleheader for the Auburn Tigers, and so they'll play in the afternoon right here on Tiger 95.9, so no show tomorrow. And then they play the Jacksonville Dolphins today, 4:45 airtime, and so that's why we're getting off the air at 4:15. So just with you for a little over another, or a little under another hour, so let's get right back to it. Let's go back to that Auburn Bank phone line. And retired Ward AM Steve joins us. Steve, how are you, my friend?
Hey, good. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Since this is Thursday, but it's going to be actually, can I make it Fun Friday real quickly?
Sure. We like fun, so it doesn't matter what day of the week it is.
All right. Well, first, I say to that score, 33-0, and I saw, I said, holy crap. I said, is this a football game or what? And I had to see, you know, what happened. I said, Oh, my gosh. So, you know, after yesterday's discussion, guys, I take it that after Bill Bailey educated us about there is a mercy rule, if both teams agree to it, I take it that Alabama A&M said, forget that 18-2 score. We're not going for a mercy rule. They said to Auburn, I guess, bring it on, right?
Yeah, and J.J. told us a couple innings into it that they said before the game that they were not doing a mercy rule no matter what. And so the dramatic irony there is that they really, really needed the mercy rule last night.
Well, be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
All right. Well, going on to the Fun Friday aspect, and for all you listeners who are Alabama fans, especially Mr. Anthony, Mr. Najee Harris has a shout-out for you, and in his honor, I'll give you that shout-out. And the shout-out from Mr. Najee Harris is War Eagle. And you guys know what I'm referring to, right?
I did see this, actually, Steve. This is
funny. I thought it
was
hilarious.
Yeah.
Apparently, he had some kind of a show interview with Pat McAfee.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and the interview went something like, we were talking about his playing time at Bama, and this was in his quotes during the interview. He said, I knew that football was taken seriously there, referring to Alabama, but I did not know the fans would be that damn crazy. And he went on to say that apparently he'd be, I guess, in the school cafeteria eating food, and people come up to him and say, you know, Roll Tide to him. And he looked at him and said, bro, I'm trying to eat my food, man. And so he finally had enough of it. He said, hey, War Eagle. And he said, the guy walked back from him and said, what? So imagine an Auburn football player saying to an Auburn fan, Roll Tide, right?
Yeah, no, that's quite funny from Najee Harris. I mean, I can imagine a lot of people trying to come up to him and say hello, and I think that's a very clever way of getting people to leave him alone and let him eat in peace.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't come after him after that, you know. So I thought that was pretty funny. But this is not funny, guys. The women's basketball team, guys, you know, and I never, well, you know, I'm out to get somebody's job. But Coach Flo, what is your sense? Is she going to survive this season, guys? Because I saw she got an extended contract until 2023, and I don't even know how that happened. That's a head-scratcher to me. But what's your sense? Does she survive this season? Because she's going to break a record if this happens. We only got two games left, right? Arkansas and Tennessee.
Yes.
And she'll break the record for going unwinless in the SEC, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not familiar there with the – record of if anyone's ever gone winless before. I know.
No, this is the first time it happens.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, look, it's incredibly tough with what they've gone and done this year, and you know, even look, they've had some legitimate things. They've had, just like everyone else, they've had COVID problems, they've had injuries, they had a huge roster turnover last year. But as you said, you know, this would be the first time that you go winless in the league, that anyone's gone winless in the league. So you know, I can't ever, you know, give firm speculation, but I can agree, like anyone else can agree, that this has been a really bad season, following a year last year which was really tough as well. So it has not been trending in the right direction for Auburn women's basketball.
But I'll tell you what, throughout the season, and I've had the privilege of being part of some of the women's basketball broadcasts, and I'll be in studio tonight for Auburn versus Arkansas. They have not given up. Like, this team fights until the very end. So they have not won yet in the SEC, but they play their hearts out to the very last buzzer for every single game. I can tell you that much.
And that's commendable, Brooks. However, you know, unique. You know, I'm glad she broke the record she did, and the talent that she has. I feel badly for her because she didn't have the supporting cast that she needed to have or that she deserved. What are your thoughts about what I said there?
Well, yeah, so they had a lot of young players on last year's team, and then they had something like 7 transfers. So what the deal was is that they had what they thought was a really good recruiting class and girls that were going to develop into really good players to help support Unique Thompson. And then they all went elsewhere.
I'm going to say they kind of have reason. Developed into some really good players. It's just not
yeah,
at Auburn.
They're not. They just don't play for Auburn anymore. So that's why I said they had the turnover really almost the entire roster. And so they're so young around her, and she's really one of the only experienced players. And like I said, I'm not trying to use that as an excuse for being winless in conference, because at some point you got to win some games. But they thought they'd be in a much different position than they were, but they lost half their team after last year. They, like I said, transferred elsewhere. And so no continuity, no players around Unique really growing with her. And so, yeah, she kind of got singled out as the elder statesman and kept playing well and, you know, has broken these records, but obviously has had a lot of young players around her.
And that's understandable. You know, that's a fair comment. However, I also saw that Coach Flo's record, she has a losing record in the SEC, guys, right?
Yes. These last few years have made that overall record plummet, yeah.
So I just was a head scratch to me how she merited getting an extension. But anyway, I hope Miss Unique is able to continue her professional career. You do see her doing that, right?
Yeah, we just looked at a mock draft, actually. I just pulled up the WNBA mock draft from 4 days ago from ESPN, and they have her as a very early second-round pick, where there's only 12 WNBA teams, so she would be the third pick of the second round right now, projected to be going to the Atlanta Dream.
Do you know what kind of income or salary that might be for her?
Oh, I do not.
I mean, I know it doesn't compare to the men's NBA, but I just didn't know how much of a salary of the women get or don't.
I was trying to think of the biggest salary, because I felt like someone like Diana Taurasi or somebody got the biggest contract.
Yeah. It looks like, I pulled it up, WNBA salary, all second-rounders in 2020 earned $59,750 a year. That's if you were drafted in the second round.
Second round, so yeah, minimum.
Wow, that's quite a that's a dramatic income gap there in there from the NBA.
Yeah, no, it's a lot different, and a lot different.
Okay, all right. So moving on, guys, about the softball game today, I thought it was going to be a cakewalk, a walk in the park, so to speak, until I saw that Jacksonville actually took Florida to the wire until the seventh inning. They lost 1-0. What can you tell about Jacksonville? Are they good of a team, or is Florida maybe not as good as they are made out to be?
So I tend to believe, in general, for Florida, they are good at everything. And so I would say that it is probably more indicative of Jacksonville being solid and being good. Brooks, maybe you have a little bit more.
Well, I was going to say that Auburn already played Jacksonville once this year. They played them last weekend down in Jacksonville, and they beat them 5-1. So it's not like Jacksonville's they're a fine team. I think that, you know, you sometimes you just catch a Florida or someone on a bad day, and there's a lot of times that, you know, you see, you know, softball, the games get close, and the other team pulls it out at the very end, or the better team pulls it out at the very end. So softball's a funny sport that it kind of feels like college basketball, where on any given night anybody can beat anybody. But overall, like when you get into like a three game series, that's when you really see the talent level take off and kind of differentiate themselves between the teams. But on a one-off game, I think that Jacksonville is able, is a team that's capable of coming in and beating Auburn. But right now, I think from what I've seen this year, Auburn's, upset a number 19 South Carolina last week. And I think they're capable of, very capable of winning this game. And Jacksonville is far less talented than Auburn. But I think Jacksonville's, decent enough that they could come in and give Auburn a game tonight.
Okay. Finally, guys, speaking of, how this happened, and I know my son tells me on any given night in basketball, anybody can beat anybody. Did you see this coming last night? Arkansas 81, Alabama 66?
In general, I will say no, but we know from a standpoint of dealing with the last couple Auburn teams that were really good, right? I mean, last year's team went 25-5, something like that. The year before, when they went to the Final Four, they had some really disappointing losses in the regular season. There are always going to be games in basketball that you just don't play well. You just don't shoot well. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a make or miss sport, right? So some days you just miss way more than you usually miss. And Alabama was cold from three. I did watch a little bit of that game. Arkansas shot a million free throws. And they actually had a decent home environment. I was watching that game. You could hear the Arkansas fans. I was really impressed. I don't know what their exact attendance number was, but it was actually palpable, the noise level there in Bud Walton Arena. So, you know, obviously it's always going to be a bit of an upset when someone ranked that highly loses, but I don't think it says anything too much about Alabama. I think that those type of losses, as you alluded to, they do happen throughout the course of the year.
Okay, I just wondered because I didn't watch the game, but I saw the final. I said, gee, you know, I didn't think Arkansas was that talented. And it wasn't,
they're hot. They've won eight in a row.
Well, I thought, well, if they upset them, it will be a close game. But, I mean, this was a 15-point margin of victory, right?
Yeah.
So was it turnovers? You just missed shots, you said?
Missed shots. Alabama did not shoot the three as well as they usually do, and they do shoot a lot of threes. They're very reminiscent of Auburn's teams in that regard. And then also, like I said, what was something that to keep up with was the free throw battle, because Arkansas in that game, I'm looking at it right now, shot 43 free throws, and Alabama,
oh my God,
and Alabama only shot eight. So.
Eight.
I don't like to play the partisan crowd, but I definitely think that if you wanted to make an argument that the referees were home cooking, I think it's pretty clear based off that number that was involved.
I'd say that's a good definition of
yes.
Home cooking. Only eight times to the free throw line?
Yeah, 43-8.
Wow, Arkansas players must do really, really good at knowing how not to get into foul trouble.
They must have Shaq and then five Isaac Okoros playing defense for them.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, guys, I know my time is really about up, but next week, I just want to see if you guys maybe give you a heads up here. I'd like to talk about the upcoming Olympics in Tokyo, the Summer Olympics.
Sure.
And also about Mr. William Andrews. I mentioned it earlier this week, but an article that was really well written by USA Today asked, does William Andrews belong in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Because he's never made it to the finalists. I just want to get your thoughts on why he, maybe you think he should or shouldn't. I think he does after reading the article about him. And also talk about Coach Harsin and the kind of atmosphere he's bringing to this football program. I've seen a video where he is actually gone early in the morning and actually there earlier than the players to work out with them. You knew that, right?
I did. And I saw some photos actually this morning of an early workout, yeah.
So that's very encouraging. All right, it's time for me to say my time is up. I do thank you guys for your time. I hope you have a restful weekend and enjoy one and stay safe. And worry always and tell Mr. JJ I hope he has a good time, enjoyable time doing the announcing.
Will do, Steve. We hope you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys, War Eagle.
War Eagle, that's retired Ward AMC there on our Auburn Bank phone line. When we come back, it's time for Birthdays in Sports, brought to you by the Hive Nutrition Club. That's next.
J.J. Jackson and the guys want to hear from you. Give them a call to join Sports Call at 334-887-3401. Let's get back to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9. Feel free to give us a call at 334-887-3401 or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9.
Thursday edition of Sports Call coming to you live. Tiger 95.9, SportsCallAuburn.com. Ryan Lavoy, Javon Cutler, Brooks Childress here on this Thursday edition, the last edition of the week. Just a little bit longer here in hour number one. And once again, the whole rest of the week condensed because not only no show tomorrow, but show ending today at 4:15. Auburn softball against Jacksonville. That first pitch shortly after 5, airtime at 4:45 here on Tiger 95.9 and the Auburn Sports Network. All right, let's get to our one of our favorite segments of each and every day. It's time for the birthdays in sports.
It's time for today's birthdays in sports.
Javon, take it away.
Got a good list of birthdays here on February 25th, 2021. Start off the list, a guy that is near and dear to all of our hearts here in the Auburn area. Happy birthday to Bo Nix, who is turning 21. Current quarterback for the Auburn Tigers, 2019 SEC Freshman of the Year, 2018 Alabama Mr. Football, is currently tied for 7th with his father, Patrick Nix, in all-time passing yards in Auburn history, and has a career total of 42 touchdowns, 28 passing, and 14 rushing. So happy birthday to none other than our quarterback, Bo Nix.
In the words of Terrell Owens, he's my quarterback.
Makes me feel old that he's only 21.
Old enough to drink the Kool-Aid, though.
Yeah,
happy birthday, Bo Nix.
Turning 72 today. A guy that we all know simply... Well, let me say his catchphrase first. Woo! That is the nature boy, Ric Flair.
Woo!
It's just fun to say it.
Woo! But he's... I miss doing... Now, that made me miss doing... I miss Deshaun being here because we do Deshaun's bold predictions.
Oh, yeah.
That was... Man. Now I miss that.
Yeah. Man, we need to get Deshaun back on the program soon.
We do.
We do.
Yeah. And he even had a name for each day, too. So.
Exactly. So, mm-mm-mm. But Ric Flair today is turning 72. He's a former professional wrestler who has been regarded by some as the greatest professional wrestler of all time. He had a career that spanned almost 40 years, spent time with the World Championship Wrestling, WCW, the WWE, and Total Nonstop Action Wrestling, TNA. He's famous for his Woo chant and was a 2008 inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame. And he's recognized as a 16-time world champion. So happy birthday to Ric Flair.
Didn't like his stepson or someone start going to Auburn too? Or like
someone in his family did.
Like his son or stepson or something. Nephew, I don't.
It was something like that, yeah. But
man. He's,
wow.
What a guy. Like he's just
that's the best way to put it. Yeah, what a guy.
What a guy. I was trying to find the his quote, his like styling and profiling.
Oh
quote,
yeah.
But I don't think I can.
It's long. It's like styling, profiling, something, 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 something. But it's like a whole little like blurb he says. But he's the guy that kind of really brought, I'd say, a flashy style to wrestling. Because wrestling, you think of like kind of the brute guys, huge guys. But Flair kind of brought that flashy style to wrestling, had the flashy robes, had, you know, the little sayings, slogans, but great guy, still alive, still kicking it. So happy birthday to Ric Flair, turning 72.
72, wow.
Yep, 72. Who would have thought it? But mm-mm-mm. This next birthday for you, Ryan, you'll appreciate this one. Happy birthday to Gerald McCoy, turning 33.
More Bucks birthdays, love it.
Yep.
Great content, I say. What was it, Simeon Rice and Jeff Garcia?
Yep, yesterday? That was yesterday. So, but today's Gerald McCoy turning 33. He is currently a free agent defensive tackle who spent most of his career with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Had one season with the Panthers and also played for the Cowboys, but was injured. 6-time Pro Bowler, 3-time first-team All-Pro, 2-time first-team All-American at Oklahoma, and was the 3rd overall pick of the 2010 NFL draft by the Bucks. So
he was great for a long time. He just started to age a little bit, and the Bucks and him kind of parted ways just before the what would have been the payoff of sticking around for that long.
That's got to be annoying for him too, because like you were just a year or two off from joining a Super Bowl team.
Because he'd never been to the playoffs.
Nope.
Never been to the playoffs.
So Lavonte David's the longest tenured guy in the Bucks, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when was Lavonte drafted?
Oh, 2012?
Okay, so.
It was the year before, year after Gerald McCoy.
Okay.
So I think year after.
All right. I don't know. I was thinking like Gerald McCoy and Lavonte came in at the same time. But
it's very close, but Levante's 30, I want to say, or 31, so he should be like one draft later.
That works. Turning 36 today is Joakim Noah. Free agent center who's played for the Bulls, Knicks, Grizzlies, and Clippers, 2-time NBA All-Star, 2014 NBA Defensive Player of the Year, 2-time All-NBA Defensive First Team, 2-time NCAA champ at Florida, the number 9 overall pick of the 2007 NBA draft by the Chicago Bulls.
Solid pro career, great college career, though.
It was fun as a Florida Gators fan. It was fun to watch Joakim Noah. He was like that energy guy, and that's what he was in the pros as well. I mean, with the Bulls, him and Derrick Rose had a nice little yin-yang combination going. Joakim Noah, yeah, for sure. Didn't have the best end to his career. Kind of became more of a journeyman toward the end. But, hey, he's a good NBA player. Like you said, Ryan, great college player. Brought a couple of championships to the Gators. But happy birthday to Joakim Noah turning 36. Turning 63 today is Jeff Fisher, former NFL head coach with the Houston Oilers / Tennessee Titans and St. Louis / Los Angeles Rams. He also played in the NFL for 5 years as a defensive back with the Chicago Bears, led the Titans to the Super Bowl in 1999, and has won 173 games in his career.
Long, long time head coach.
I'll tell you what, Jeff Fisher is a name that it's like John Gruden was for a while, that just any opening that pops up, Jeff Fisher's name is somehow floated in there, except it's the opposite end, where everyone was like, John Gruden may want this job. Oh my gosh, John Gruden, that'd be great. It's Jeff Fisher's like, you're just like, oh, Jeff Fisher would maybe want that job.
No.
Like every single college job ever. I think Jeff Fisher's name was thrown out for the Auburn job this year at one point. I think I saw it in an article somewhere.
Why not?
That Jeff Fisher would be interested in the Auburn job. But it, like, I know Jacksonville, when they were looking for a new coach, is like, oh, maybe Jeff Fisher. And then after they hired Urban Meyer, I saw, like, Jeff Fisher could be joining Urban Meyer's staff down there. It's like, his name is just thrown out every single time there's an opening and hoping that it sticks somewhere.
I don't know. Whenever I think about Jeff Fisher, I just think about a coach that, like, epitomizes the idea of going 7-9, 8-8 each year, because it felt like each year he was kind of a average-ish type coach with a couple of great seasons. I mean, he had Steve McNair as his quarterback when they went to the Super Bowl, had Vince Young when they did really well and was the coach, I believe, for Jared Goff's rookie season, which was absolutely terrible. But, I mean, Jeff Fisher just kind of epitomizes that average coach with a couple of bright years.
That a way to be average, Jeff.
Yep.
But happy birthday.
And last but not least, I know for sure this is a J.J. Jackson special birthday because he wrote it in his handwriting.
Oh, you don't have to read it.
Then. It's two of his favorite teams on this as well, so it's going to be painful to read. But happy birthday to Vernon Carey Jr., who's turning 20, currently a center for the Charlotte Hornets and played his basketball for the Duke Blue Devils.
Which, speaking of Duke, J.J. had some very positive news. I hope it's okay to share it because he'll start this next week, and he did announce it on his Twitter. And if he's listening, I'm giving him just a couple seconds to say no, don't share this news. But as he shared on his Twitter, he is going to be the host of the Locked On Duke podcast, so we're really proud of him. He will be continuing on with this show. No worries there. It will not drag him away. He is not all the way on the dark side, but we already knew his love for Duke, so getting to talk about that for a living as well. We're really excited for him. He is my brother, and so I support him in everything he does. And I'm really excited for him. And he's not on the show today because he's going to be doing Auburn softball. So if you keep listening to the station a little bit after we get off the air, you will hear him. Don't worry. He's not moving to Durham. But, J.J. Jackson hosting the Locked On Duke podcast starting up in a week or so. So really proud of him and really excited for him. And those are the birthdays in sports today. Brought to you by The Hive Nutrition. Check out their variety of healthy shakes, loaded teas, beauty drinks, and specialty drinks with beverages that are between 200 to 250 calories and filled with 24 to 27 grams of protein. You won't have to sacrifice deliciousness for nutrition. The Hive is open Monday through Saturday and is located at 4184 Lee Road 146 in Auburn beside the Lazy Bee. Follow them on Facebook at Hive Nutrition Club. So birthdays and sports brought to you by The Hive Nutrition Club there. So I guess a happy birthday to Vernon Carey Jr. as well. All right, we've got a couple minutes left in this hour. Remember, just one segment in hour number two. So real quickly, we've not done this yet this week, and we need to. It's the player of the week, and it's a familiar face that returned to the Auburn baseball program this year. So let's let you take a listen to this.
Rankin Woley is Sports Call's Player of the Week. Woley hit a home run and had four RBIs in Auburn baseball's opening day game against Presbyterian Friday at Plainsman Park. The home run went over the left field wall and was a no-doubter as the Tigers won 14-3. Overall, Auburn swept the weekend series against the Blue Hose and has now swept the series against Alabama A&M in the midweek. Rankin Woley is Sports Call's Player of the Week.
Budget Blinds is a professional, streamlined process offering window treatments that include premium blinds, stylish shades, and traditional shutters. For those wanting upgrades, they also provide smart home shades and blinds for automated integration. They measure, quote, and install with our in-house staff to make it easier on the client and offer free home installations with a five-year, no-questions-asked warranty. Budget Blinds proudly serves the Auburn, Opelika, and Lake Martin areas. So to schedule a free in-home consultation, call or text 334-569-6459. Budget Blinds. Style and service for every budget.
That was the Player of the Week brought to you by Budget Blinds. It's Rankin Woolley, who, as mentioned, Auburn has played two very successful baseball games since last weekend's opening series sweep of Presbyterian. But Rankin Woolley hit a home run in that series, drove in a lot of runs, was very impactful. And guys, he's a player that we anticipate being very important to Auburn's success as one of those veteran team leaders.
Oh, yeah, we expect a lot of Rankin Woolley. We expect a lot of some of these veteran hitters that Auburn has brought back, because majority of these guys do have experience in the postseason, as some of them went to Omaha for the College World Series. So we expect a lot out of Rankin Woolley, expect a lot out of Ryan Bliss, Stephen Williams, etc., Judd Ward. You could go on and on with the list, but Rankin Woolley had a really big hit against Presbyterian. Just kind of start the party there. It was a blowout win for them as well. They've been having a lot of those lately. But for having a guy like Rankin Woolley, who's a grad student who played at LSU prior to coming to Auburn, he's a guy that kind of knows how to set the table for the team, solid infielder, and I think that Auburn's going to have to rely on him and, like I said, Bliss and the other veterans in order to have a successful season.
Yeah, I think that Rankin Woolley, we saw him this past weekend. He did enough to warrant him being our Sports Call Player of the Week. And that was just the first weekend of the new year. And he's one of these guys that came back for extra year this year, try to help this Tigers team to have some unfinished business out in Omaha. And they're getting to a solid start. He did not play in either of the Alabama A&M series. I believe he was the one that got scratched with a stomach bug like 20 minutes before first pitch on Tuesday. So hopefully they'll have him back this weekend and get some tough competition. But he's a guy that, like you said, Javon, he's got so much experience, not just at Auburn, but he's a guy that was talented enough to get warrant going to LSU to start with. And that's a lot, you know, that's one of the big programs in baseball. And so he's now at Auburn and been at Auburn for a few years and continues to put up big numbers and be a really, really important part of this team going forward. And hopefully he'll help do what he came back for and help guide this Auburn baseball team to another Omaha trip this year.
Rankin Woolley, Sports Call's Player of the Week for this past week. On the other side of our hour-ending break, just one more segment of Sports Call today. We'll give you a little preview of Auburn basketball as they play Tennessee. And the nightly TV guide. You don't want to miss that. One more segment when we come back. This is Sports Call on Tiger 95.9, SportsCallAuburn.com.
One hour of our show is in the books. We've got more to come. Stay tuned for another hour of Sports Call right after the break.
Did you miss any of today's show or want to listen to a segment or interview again? Check out the Sports Call podcast presented by Pepsi anytime, on demand, wherever you get your podcast. From Apple Music to Google Play to Spotify, our podcast is everywhere. Enjoy an ice cold Pepsi to go along with the hottest sports talk. Thank you for always listening to Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. Pepsi, that's what I like.
Since 1995, Alabama's sports talk leader, Tiger Communications, proudly presents Sports Call. It's time to join our Sports Call crew as they discuss the latest headlines and happenings around Auburn and the entire sports world. To be part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. We're taking phone calls all show long and want to talk about whatever you've got on your mind.
And now, coming to you live from the loveliest village on the plains, Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Hour number two of Sports Call today, and the final hour of the day and the week, and to be, as a matter of fact, the final segment of the week.
And the month.
Good call, Brooks. So just a few minutes left here in the month of February for Sports Call. Once again, one more time, Auburn softball against Jacksonville a little later, 4:45 airtime for that. So that's why we're getting off the air today. And then a doubleheader for Auburn softball tomorrow. And so that's why we'll not be on at all tomorrow. So just a few minutes left in the program today. We'll get to the nightly TV guide in just a couple moments. But first, we got a message on Twitter from Matt. Or was it on Twitter or Facebook?
It was on Twitter.
On Twitter from Matt. He has revealed his answer to the question that was very spirited debate yesterday afternoon. Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck? And Matt has his answer.
Yeah. Also, if you ever want to chime in to anything we're talking about on the show, make sure you send us a message on Facebook or Twitter at SportsCallAU. Matt from Auburn has said he's not going to be able to call into the show today, but the answer to my mailbag question yesterday is 100 duck-sized horses. As a soccer player, I feel like I have a decent advantage there. That's that's very true. You guys went over it yesterday, but especially if you've got a soccer background and you're used to defending and kicking a ball around that's about the size of a duck, to be honest. I mean, I think that you're going to have an advantage there. And again, like most of y'all said yesterday, I'll go ahead and reveal my answer. I would also take the 100 duck-sized horses because I just don't like ducks. Some ducks are mean in general, so I don't want to deal with a duck the size of a horse with wings that can hit you and just razor-sharp teeth in its mouth. And I just, no thank you. No thank you, sir.
And I believe Javon also went with the 100.
I did, yep.
Duck-sized horses. Everyone but JJ went duck-sized horses. So
I was more convinced when Tom Peavy yesterday told us to Google mouth of a duck, and I clicked on one of the pictures of a mouth of a duck, and it does have like a weird alien-like tongue and teeth alignment, so I could definitely see how everybody was on the 100 duck-sized horses. So, because I don't know about a huge horse-sized duck, but thought of that just seems really scary, and I don't think it would end well, honestly.
I concur. So that is our answer from Matt there on that pressing topic, which we talked a good bit about.
Like I said,
Sports Call Mailbag.
Ducks and geese can be mean. Like, just normal-sized ducks and geese, if you catch them on a bad day, they can be really mean, and they can come after you. You see all the videos. Like, I know you watching, that America's Funniest Home Videos, you see the little girl and little boy getting chased around by the ducks all the time, and just, it's funny, but until it happens to you and the duck's coming after you, then you're kind of scared.
you don't want something that aggressive and something that large.
Yes.
It's not just going to stand there and let you attack first. And so I think that's the big overarching point here. Speaking of attacking first, Auburn needs to do that Saturday against Tennessee as we segue quickly in Auburn, Tennessee. That was their biggest problem against Florida. I mean, I know they had a zillion problems, Sharif Cooper not playing as the chief among them, but the biggest problem as a team and just seeing what was actually on the floor against Florida is that they did not play well in the first half. They looked a little shell-shocked that Sharif Cooper was not playing and looked discombobulated. In the second half, they outscored Florida. I know it was a 20-point game going in the half, and so outscoring them in the second half doesn't mean a whole lot, but it means to me that they fought and that they battled. They pressed a little bit in the second half. The bench got a little bit more into it. I just think they were shell-shocked and a little over their heads in the first half. So to me, starting strong against Tennessee, they did not play that well against Vandy, and Vandy did not have Scottie Pippen last night, Scottie Pippen Jr. So Tennessee's not been playing good basketball. They lost a couple games in previous weeks. So I know that they are ranked, but they are ranked 25th. They have been sliding, and they've not been playing their best. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Auburn should be favored to win and that without Sharif Cooper, Auburn's going to play a fantastic game. But I'm trying to give you the positive spin of things and tell you that if Auburn battles and they believe and they press and their bench is into it, they can make this a game on their home floor. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, Auburn has had Tennessee's number, it feels like, the past couple of years. They're looking for their sixth straight win in this head-to-head series. And Auburn's won by an average of 13 points over the past five wins against the Volunteers, so they've had their numbers. I know this is a completely different Auburn team, but that's, I guess, something to kind of hang your hat on. But for Auburn, they just need to find some type of offense somewhere. I mean, you do have those occasional, like, JT Thor bursts, those occasional Alan Flanagan bursts. Jalen Williams has had a couple of outstanding three-point shooting games. Cambridge has kind of been struggling pretty much all season. But for Auburn, just find some consistent offense and make sure that your defense holds up, because the defense has not looked that great the past couple of games. Auburn's lost three in a row. They've given up 104 points, for instance, to LSU. They've allowed over 84 points in their past three games. So Auburn needs to really kind of hunker down on the defensive end, limit those turnovers, which has been a problem all year long for the Tigers. They had 21 against Florida, and just hold on to the ball as well. I mean, 16 or Florida had 11 steals. So for Auburn, just try to find some type of offense wherever you can, because Tennessee, they're still trying to hang on to get a decent spot in the NCAA tournament. They're not playing as well as they did at the beginning. They've lost they're 3-2 in their last five games. So for Auburn, hey, just find offense any way you can. Muster up enough defense to slow down this Tennessee Volunteers team, because Tennessee is one of the best defensive teams in the country still. But that's how I feel Auburn could win.
Just for me, Auburn got pushed around against Florida on Tuesday night. There's no doubt about it. Florida did what they wanted to do during that whole game. Auburn couldn't really stop them. This is going to be your second straight game, and you already played the full non-conference slate and then the first few conference games without Sharif Cooper, and then you got into the habit of having Sharif Cooper there, and you've just got to adjust back to not having Sharif Cooper. I know the other night was probably you probably knew beforehand, but no one else outside of that basketball program knew Sharif Cooper was out until he did not come out with the warm-up lines that night. So you've got to take this. You've had a few days, and you've got to adjust to know, hey, we're probably not going to have Sharif Cooper again this Saturday against Tennessee. So you've got to come out there and you've got to play like you did in non-conference play and figure out ways to win games without your starting point guard. And I think one of those ways is you've got to be able to shut down Victor Bailey Jr., who's been playing really well for the Volunteers lately, and Jaden Springer, who's also been playing really well for the Vols lately. You got to be able to shut them down. You've got to be able to bounce back, and just you've got to take what happened with Florida the other night, shove it behind you, and learn from your mistakes that night, and come out and this is a whole new ball game, and you got to be able to come out and have a chance to win.
Yeah, no, for Auburn, I definitely think that the turnovers are something important that they've got to try and limit the best they can. I know they don't have a primary ball handler, but it's something that it kills you, and they got to find ways to just at least make them, if they're going to be turnovers, dead ball turnovers. Like, at least don't put your defense at a disadvantage as well. So that's something to be important, getting off to a better start and everything like that. So an uphill battle, obviously, for Auburn as they conclude this season, but something nevertheless that they're going to keep pressing through and giving their best effort, putting their best foot forward. Just a couple minutes left in the show today, so we want to get you to this.
Our show is about to end, but we've got you covered on entertainment for the evening. Here's Sports Call's Nightly TV Guide.
Nightly TV Guide brought to you by Coca-Cola. Brooks, just a couple minutes left. What we got tonight?
Sir, I'll go ahead and give you this. Tonight, Auburn Women's Basketball Senior Night on the SEC Network, 8 o'clock tip off for the Tigers as they host number 16 Arkansas. Played the Arkansas Razorbacks really well the first time they met in Fayetteville a few weeks ago. Now, they did not get the win there, but Arkansas now comes through Auburn Arena. Senior night for Unique Thompson, so it should be fun. You can watch that, like I said, on the SEC Network at 8 o'clock. You can also listen to it over on our sister station, FM Talk 93.9, starting at 7:45 with the pregame show. I'll be in studio doing the halftime show and scoreboard updates. Britt Bowen and Dr. Larry DeShera will have the call for the Auburn Sports Network. Men's college basketball action tonight, starting off at 6 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. Santa Clara visits the number one team in the country, Gonzaga. also at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Big one tonight, a big ranked matchup. Number 9, Iowa takes on number 3, Michigan. This could be one of the games of the year in the Big Ten Conference, in college basketball, really. Michigan's favored by 5.5 points in that one. Also at 6 o'clock on BTN, Nebraska takes on number 5, Illinois. Then at 6 o'clock on ESPN2, Western Kentucky, an out-of-conference matchup. Western Kentucky takes on number 12, Houston. Houston, 12-0 at home this year. Then at 6 o'clock on FS1, Washington takes on Arizona State. Two teams that are probably not going to make the tournament this year. Washington's 5-18, Arizona's 8-11 on the season, but some decent Pac-12 action out west. And then looking at any later games tonight, ESPN at 8 o'clock, number 4, Ohio State takes on Michigan State. On ESPN2, number 19, USC takes on Colorado. On FS1, Boise State takes on number 22, San Diego State. And San Francisco takes on BYU. And then on ESPN, that's on CBS Sports Network. And then on ESPNU, Oregon takes on Stanford. And then NBA action tonight at 6 o'clock on TNT. The Dallas Mavericks visit the Philadelphia 76ers. Chuma Okeke and the Orlando Magic visit the Brooklyn Nets. That's at 6:30 on League Pass, wherever you can find that. The local game tonight, 7 o'clock, Clippers visit the Grizzlies. And then at 8:30 tonight on TNT, the Pelicans take on the Bucks. And that is your Nightly TV Guide, brought to you by our friends over at Coca-Cola.
A lot to watch tonight and a lot to watch this weekend. So we hope everyone enjoys all this sports, enjoys more Auburn athletics, a jam-packed weekend across the Auburn Sports Network. Thanks to all those who tuned in and called in today and this week. We'll be back with you for some more Sports Call next week. For Javon Cutler and Brooks Childress, I'm Ryan Lavoy. We appreciate you, and have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Call podcast presented by Pepsi. We hope you enjoyed Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. Pepsi, that's what I like.